From Lake Itasca to Lake Pepin and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene. And Wally, a week ago we were basking in the glow of the Minnesota Twins being a first-place team. That glow has dimmed. They are now in second place behind Kansas City. The Tigers are creeping up. Even the White Sox aren't that far behind. So they've hit a skid. We'll see if they can get out of this little funk.
You go through all that and you don't even mention the Tribe.
They're on the bottom. They haven't earned my respect yet.
Wow.
Although they're not that far away either. I think they're only seven out.
Yeah, and they're only like a half game behind the White Sox. So let's not get too carried away here. You know what? One thing that this tells me, if you look at the American League standing, Houston's hit the skids too.
That's right. White Sox swept them.
So the American League is very mediocre, is what this is starting to tell me.
Well, look, anybody who thought the Twins were going to play at a 6-10 clip the whole season.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, I
that's unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly. I still think they're a good team. I think they're going to hang around. Their bats have gone silent. The pitching hasn't been that bad, but they scored three runs collectively against Kansas City. That's not going to cut it. They almost got no hit on Tuesday. I mean, Chris Young took that no hitter into the seventh before Trevor Plouffe tripled off the right field wall. And the Royals bullpen is just, it's lights out. I mean, it's a big reason why they went to the World Series last year. Kansas City's the real deal. I mean, I was very disappointed in the crowds for that series. I know for the first two games they were at 22,000. I didn't see what they had Wednesday.
They had about 28 or 29 on Wednesday.
So they had
that was
a bit
the
of
best
a bump.
Of the three. And Wednesday was a nice night, too. I mean, they had a nice
right,
night for baseball.
Right.
So,
but I'm like, wait a minute, man. You got the AL champs, first place is at stake. The local teams had success, and it didn't seem to draw people in. But I think a lot of folks, unfortunately, there's still a glasses-half-empty mindset here in Minnesota. I just think it's permeated the fan base of most of our major teams, that everybody's afraid to get invested and buy into something because they think they're going to have their heart broken.
A lot of people from Missouri, maybe, huh?
Yeah. Well, the Royals were from Missouri, and they showed the Twins, didn't they? And they see the Cardinals, I see, next week. Two in St. Louis and
show me.
Two in Minneapolis.
Show me. They got apparently, you got to show me for more than a month.
Yeah, well, I still believe this team will be all right, but there
I
are some
so.
Signs. There's they got to get somebody consistently that can you know, hit the ball batting average wise consistently.
Yeah, your guy Mauer's about 260 right now. That's not going to cut it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, with two home runs.
He has had some clutch hits.
He has.
I'll give him that. He's what, second on the team in RBI. Overall, his numbers aren't as good, but I think he has done better in the clutch this year. He had that three-run homer, last week? They pulled the right field. Who was that? Was that against Tampa? I think that was against Tampa.
Or that was against Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Tie it, I believe,
yeah, that's
and they
right.
lost
Milwaukee.
The
that's
game.
Right. Milwaukee. Friday night against
yeah.
Milwaukee a week ago. But he's had some big hits. He had that base-clearing single against Seattle. I mean, he's done some good things, but he's only hitting 260. And again, the big number, of course, that everybody pays attention to is getting paid $23 million to hit 260 as a first baseman. That's not a good bargain for the Twins.
No. I mean, look, this isn't somebody with a vendetta against Joe Mauer trying to pick on him. I mean, I like the guy, but he's probably the most overpaid guy in MLB right now. I mean, he plays a power position, first base.
Or Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano is terrible this year. What in the world is going on there?
Yeah, they've forked out a lot of money for don't you know Robbie Cano, but
well, they're into him for what, about another seven or 8 years now.
The Twins only have three more with Mauer.
Exactly.
They can see the end of this thing. And I don't think there's going to be a he's not going to be re-signed at the same rate, let's put it that way.
No, I don't think so. He's not really a three hitter, but who is on this team? Torrey? I don't know. You know, I think they're a better team when Torrey bats second. I'd like to see Dozier bat second, but they just don't. You know, they tried the Santana trick. That didn't work.
He's at Rochester now.
He's
trying
in Rochester.
To find his stroke.
Yep. And so, you know, by default, Escobar is your shortstop again. They brought the kid up from AA to come play shortstop. He had a hit the other night, didn't he? I say.
I think so.
I think he had a hit the other night.
Well, I think what you're seeing here, this is the – I don't want to say it's the first test. The first test came right out of the gate when they were 1-6. But this is now the first test of their contender status.
Yes.
You know, out of the gate, nobody thought they'd be anything. But now all of a sudden, okay, are they for real? So this is the first challenge in my eyes for Paul Molitor. And really, Torrey, and we saw Torrey erupt the other night.
Really? I didn't notice.
I think it got a little play nationally and locally. But, you know, we'll see. I think they have enough leadership to overcome this. But difficult times, at least as far as the competition, lie ahead. Texas is playing better. I looked at the standings. They're not that far behind Houston. So that's on the road down there in the heat in Arlington. And then they've got to face the St. Louis Cardinals, who, as we all know, are very good. The best team in baseball right now, record-wise. The Chicago Cubs come into town a week from this weekend.
Yeah, the Cubs aren't that bad this
year. No, they're above 500. Then the Chicago White Sox. How about that? They're going to have the Cubs.
And the White Sox back-to-back.
Exactly. So the Cubs are going to leave that visiting locker room, and the White Sox are going to go into it. And
that's an oddity. It's a rarity.
If you're a White Sox fan, you want that room fumigated because you hate the Cubs. How often has that ever happened?
Probably hardly at all.
Yeah, I would say hardly at all.
I can't imagine where and when that happens. But and then interesting, the Cardinals series, it's two here and two there, right?
Yes.
So they play the Cardinals four straight days.
Ouch.
I'm not so sure about that. And here's another thing. Okay, we talked about the shortstop position. Escobar, whose bat was really good last year, and I thought he was more than adequate at shortstop because they put Santana out in center because Hicks couldn't hit, and yada, 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 yada. I mean, this is like the dominoes flipping here. But Escobar back at short, you know, defensively, he hasn't been as good as he was. I thought he was just more consistent last year, and he has not been as good this year. But I just think that I look at that starting rotation, and I'm sorry, they're going to need to get more out of Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson got bombed in the first couple of innings against the Brewers last week. He got bombed in the first inning again this week by the Royals. You know, he's fine after that, but, you know, this is kind of like what Brad Radke used to do. I think Radke was the one guilty of that. He couldn't get out
slow
of the first
starts.
First couple of innings or two. Yeah, I'm not convinced on Kyle Gibson yet. He's thrown well at times, but he's getting tagged early. What's he doing early that he's not that he what is he doing that he doesn't do later on that they're catching up to him so quickly? Does he come out of the box and just throw fastballs? I guess I'm not paying attention closely enough to know what he's doing in those first innings, but he's just getting knocked around the last two starts.
Yeah, it sometimes. For some guys, it takes a while to settle down, and maybe that's Kyle Gibson's problem. But you don't have that luxury at the MLB level. I mean, you got to bring it every inning. If you get raked, you know, in the first or second inning, that can be the ball game. If you get into July and you're still where you are now, you know, contending for first, certainly in the wild card hunt, does Terry Ryan start thinking about making a move to get this team better so they can chase a title? Because let's face it.
Buyers and not sellers, correct? Is
exactly.
That what you're saying?
That's what I'm asking. Because as you know, the Twins, almost every season, even if they are in the hunt, well, we don't want to mortgage the future. That's been their MO. And I understand it. But you know what? As George Allen once said, the old NFL coach with the Rams in Washington, the future is now. Thank you. And it is, especially in today's pro sports. And so if they're in it and if the move makes sense, do they do it? Do you think they would do it? I'm talking about adding an arm, maybe adding a bat.
Well, I think adding a bat, I mean, an arm is great. But I think that right now, you know, as you already said, their pitching has been decent. I don't think it's been great, but they're going to add an arm. They're going to add an arm, Santana. They're going to have to make some decisions because Santana comes into that rotation. Who gets bumped out?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
maybe. Good response.
Yeah, maybe. not Phil Hughes.
No, and Ricky Nolasco's scheduled to come back pretty soon.
So Nolasco comes back. I mean, the Nolasco-Malone thing, that's one spot. I don't consider that two spots. I consider that one spot. So Nolasco comes back. He'll take that spot. I don't know. I think they're gonna have, it's a nice problem to have, which is what I'm saying is if they're going to mortgage some of their future, where will it be, and what spot are you going to bring somebody into? Maybe do you bring in a DH? I don't know. Do you bring in a shortstop? I don't know. There aren't many shortstops out there that people are willing to peddle, I would guess.
No, and I'm just throwing it out as a talking point.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
If you're in contention, as you said, it's always, are you a buyer or are you a seller? And if we were in July now, in my eyes, you're a buyer. You're in the mix.
Yep.
You know, what are you waiting for? Yeah, maybe it wasn't expected to happen this year, but it's happening. I mean, there are stories of teams that go from worst to first. There are stories of teams that have a horrible season one year, and all of a sudden they're playing for all the marbles the next year. I mean, your Cleveland Cavaliers were a lottery pick last season, for goodness sakes.
Well,
and they're two
different
wins from an NBA title. I know.
A
they got LeBron.
Different.
But, well, I mean, the
well,
Kansas
the
City Royals, you know, they went to the World Series last season.
Well, you remember 1991, the year before the Twins were in last place. 1990,
yep.
Worst to first. Both them and the Braves were. So it's been known to happen. I think that the Twins – did the Twins finish last or the White Sox finish last year? I think the White Sox did. Yeah, so that won't be worst to first. But I think that they can contend with what they have. I think, as we've said 1,000 times, Torrey Hunter has been a big reason why this club has overachieved up to this point, at least as far as expectations go. But if you ask the players, as you and I have over the course of the first 2 months of the season – they expect to contend. Torrey told us when we talked to him about a week and a half ago, he said, I knew we were going to be this good. Well, that's great. Now can they sustain it? That's the question.
Well, we'll go back to what you said early in the show. You think the American League is mediocre.
I do.
Maybe you're right. I think that plays into the Twins' hands. They're not going to be a dominant team. They're not going to go out and, you know, win this thing with 100 victories. I think we all know that. But if it's mediocre and they can be in the mix and get themselves 85 to 90 wins, and that's asking a lot, I realize that. But they're in a position now to maybe think that way, because the one good thing about when they got 10 games north of 500 is if they hit the skids, you know, if they went into a bit of a slump, you could lose three or four and you're still a few games over 500. Now they're getting to the point where you got to ride it, though. You can't go down to Texas and lose three more.
No, that's
and,
for
and
sure.
Then go to St. Louis and lose two more, because suddenly you will be at sea level.
Yeah.
And it'll change quickly.
It doesn't take much, does it?
No. But again, I think this is where Molly will be a big plus. He's not going to get rattled. I know he got ejected the other night, too, but he was just covering up for Torrey.
Yep.
And Torrey will make sure that, you know, they stay loose. If somebody's gripping the bat too tight or whatever, he will try to take care of that. So there's good leadership in the room.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a break. Rocky has texted and he has listed today's guest, and I'll let you read it. A reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online, just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score. So what do we got here?
Yeah, Rocky says we've got the M&M boys. Not Morneau and Maurer. Moss and Malone. Randy Moss? No. Al Moss.
We'll talk some fishing. And Carl Malone?
No Carl Malone. No.
How about Moses Malone?
No Moses Malone. No Sam Malone.
Tommy Malone. Very good.
So all that and more coming up. Minnesota Score Radio. Your Cheers ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, joined now by Minnesota Twins pitcher Tommy Malone, who was recalled from AAA Rochester a few days ago. And it's got to be a tremendous feeling, Tommy, to get that call and say you're coming to the show.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always nice to get that call, obviously. You know, when the opposite call was made, you know, earlier last month, no, it wasn't a good feeling. So, but it's nice to be back, and it's nice to, you know, just be here and hopefully be able to help the team win.
But you were ripping it up at AAA Rochester, and even though you didn't want to start the season there, you have to have the approach that, look, if I can go out and do the job, I might get the call back up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, no matter where you're at, you know, whether it's here, whether it's in AAA, wherever you're at, you know, we just got to have the same mentality. You got to go out there and pitch. It's the same game. So, you know, that was my mentality going in. Obviously, it was a little frustrating, you know, at you know, the time I did go down, but, you know, I kind of used that fuel to kind of get me through those games and try to get me up here as quick as possible.
All right, break down your pitching style. What can you bring to the Twins, the rotation? What's your game, so to speak?
Command, the biggest thing, you know, with all the pitches that I have, I feel like, you know, if I'm on that day is when I'm, you know, moving my fastball in and out, up and down, changing speeds, just doing it all, just being able to throw strikes with all my pitches.
And that really is, it sounds simplistic, but that's the key to any pitcher, right? Just get it over the plate. Hopefully it moves a little, but if you throw strikes, you have a chance.
Exactly. You know, I'm not a guy who's going to overpower people, so I gotta use more of the corners. I can't be throwing balls over the middle of the plate. So, you know, I rely a lot on movement with my off speed pitches and then moving my fastball around.
What's Neil Allen, the new pitching coach here? What's he been telling you?
I mean, it's really been the same with all of us. You know, we got to pitch inside. We got to use our. He's a big guy on changeup. So, you know, I that's probably my best off-speed pitch. So, you know, we kind of fit together pretty nicely. You know, he's come in. He's a high-energy guy. You know, he's just kind of jumped right in. And you know, he's done the job so far. It's been a lot of fun.
And the cool thing for you is you join a ball club, you know, on top of the AL Central. Certainly an early season surprise in the eyes of many. But you're coming into something right now that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a lot of fun to watch this last month. So, you know, I'm just hoping I, you know, come in and kind of help out the rotation a little bit when Ricky's gone. And, you know, just kind of keep it going, keep the ball rolling.
And your story from Southern California, pitched at USC, then drafted by the Nationals, spent some time with the Oakland A's. The Minnesota organization, is it much different than Washington and Oakland, or is everything just basically baseball?
Pretty much. You know, organizations, you know, in general are pretty much the same. You know, some, you know, facilities might be a little bit different. You know, A's, you know, they have that old ballpark. You know, here they have new ballpark. It's only been, what, 5 years old. You know, that's pretty much the only difference I've seen so far.
Do you think Target Field is a pitcher's park? It has that reputation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, it's spacious. You know, there are times when the ball can fly out, but, you know, for the most part, you know, there's a lot of room out in the outfield. So I would say, yeah, it could go either way certain days.
Playing college baseball at USC, that's a pedigree program going way back to the days of Rod Dedeaux. I mean, they've had guys like Tom Seaver roll through there, Roy Smalley, who played with the Twins. I mean, that program really cranks out the major leaguers, doesn't it?
Definitely. You know, just from since I've been there, I feel like, you know, there's been like maybe 5 to 10 major leaguers that have come out of there and more to come. You know, guys getting drafted in high rounds. And, you know, believe it or not, they just made the playoffs this year for the first time since, I think, since like 10 years. So hopefully they're doing something right over there, you know, now, and they're kind of turning it around, and there'll be more of that to come.
Growing up in SoCal, were you an Angels or a Dodgers guy, or did you root for somebody else?
Dodgers, for sure, yeah. I mean, they were a little bit closer, so it was kind of I didn't have any family members who had grown up really either. I think it was just they were just closer in proximity, so we would go to a lot of Dodger games.
And there is a mystique to Dodger Stadium, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's kind of, you get that aura around it. It's kind of like you would with Boston. You know, it's an older ballpark, a lot of history. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to go when I was younger.
Yeah, palm trees, the ravine, mm-hmm. and then Vin Scully.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got to meet Vince a couple years ago when the Dodgers came and played the A's. I pitched against them, and I went up in the press box the next day and met him. And it's kind of a eerie feeling, you know, watching him or listening to him, you know, watching the games on TV when I was younger and listening to his voice, and then to actually be able to meet him was kind of funny.
Yeah, he spanned the gap between many generations. Final thought for Tommy Malone. You know, when you think of Southern California and the amusement parks, it's Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, but you grew up near Magic Mountain. That's your amusement park of choice, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, I never really went that often. I would probably say I actually went to Disneyland more than I went to Magic Mountain, but definitely a fun place to go.
Space Mountain guy?
Yeah, like Space Mountain, definitely.
All right, well, welcome to the Twin Cities, and Twins fans are certainly hoping for a lot of success.
Thank you, appreciate it.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Rocky lining up Tommy Malone.
Yeah, he was interesting to hear a little bit of his background. He's a Southern California guy and riding the roller coasters out there. Yeah. What he said he wasn't a big Disneyland guy.
No, it
was the other way around.
Yeah, he grew up near Magic Mountain.
The other way around, that's right.
Yeah, but he went more to Disneyland, which surprised me because he was so close to Magic Mountain. And I think they have better rides at Magic Mountain, but Tommy Malone disagrees.
All right, speaking of Magic, the Kansas City Royals have 7 guys currently in the starting lineup for the American League All-Stars. Do you realize that? Did you see that?
With the vote?
With the vote. They will start... 7 Kansas City Royals will be in the starting lineup. The only guy, Altuve, and then one of the outfield positions, I believe.
Wow. Well, you know what that says? Those folks down in Kansas City and Missouri, the Show Me State, they're stuffing the ballot box. They are doing their thing for the AL champs.
Well, I tell you what, if Major League Baseball allows the Kansas City Royals to have 7 guys in the starting lineup, they're going to have issues trying to get people to watch the All-Star game. I got news for you.
I've never really liked the fans being a part of the process. It's just a popularity contest.
All right, and here's the problem this year, is that all the voting is now online. Major League Baseball decided...
So it's even easier.
Yeah. So you can go and vote 35 times at once. You know, my son made a good point. I mean, we're kind of... Of course, you know, my kids are kind of old school anyway, but they're disappointed to learn that the ballots aren't at the stadium anymore. My son Tony said, didn't you people used to look forward to that, to go to the stadium and vote? Isn't that a reason to go to the stadium, to get a chance to vote?
You almost had to earn the right to vote. I mean, at least be in the park.
Yeah.
I remember I used to get excited as a kid. This is when the All-Star game to me meant something. I know now it means something in terms of winning league, gets home field in the World Series. It does mean something, but... Back in the day, man, the National League didn't like the American League.
And vice versa. I agree.
And I can remember sitting at Anaheim Stadium or Dodger Stadium, and they would hand those ballots out, those narrow ballots, and you would punch the little dot, you know, poke out the perforation. Yep. That was a big thing. And I remember going, wow, this is a tough one here, you know. Who do you pick? And, you know, you always leaned with your favorite guys, but it was an honor to be able to do it.
Yeah, I always used to vote for the crappy guys for the National League.
So they'd maybe lose.
Exactly. I was hoping that the National League would lose. I just, there is a flaw in the system with this online-only voting, and they've got to fix it. You know, right now, Major League Baseball is saying, no, there was nothing wrong. MLB.com says, no, everything's fine. You know, they haven't found somebody who's, you know, hacked into their system. Maybe they will find somebody. We don't know. But I am not liking this. First of all, I like the idea of going there. I've actually saved ballots from over the years. I don't know if you want to call me a collector of them, but I think I have All-Star ballots going way back, probably into the 70s. I like the idea of the ballots at the stadium. I think the kids like it. They like to sit there and punch out, just like you did when you were a kid. They like to punch out the little, you know, hanging chads and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of fun. And if you remember, All-Star ballots from, you know, 15 years ago and before that, not everybody was listed. You had to earn the right to be.
They had a write-in category, I believe.
But there weren't all
14
or 15 second basemen listed. They listed about 8 or 10 maybe. You know, they only listed the top 8 or 10 guys on you know, at each position. It wasn't every single first baseman and every single second baseman, which basically is what you have now. But I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with online only voting. And that's what Major League Baseball trying to draw people to their website.
Sure.
That's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with anything else. Don't kid yourself. they want more hits on their website. Well, okay, what's the trade-off? To have a crappy starting lineup that people don't care about, that half the nation is going to look at and say, what? You've got the entire Kansas City Royals? I mean, that's fine. The Royals deserve to have as many players as they could legitimately get in there, but this is not legitimate in my mind.
Wow. An anti-Royal rant there.
Well,
holy smokes. You don't like Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer and Alex Gordon?
You think Eric Hosmer should be there and not Miguel Cabrera? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know what that says right now? This is what it's come down to. Hey, Tiger Nation, then get out your laptop or your iPad and go to work.
Start cheating like everybody
That's
else.
That's pretty much what it is, because you and I know How many times have you been to a ballpark when they'll tell you who's nominated from the local team? Vote for so-and-so. I'll guarantee you at Target Field, they're going to try to get you to vote for Joe Mauer.
Oh, wow. they're trying Tory because he's the only one that's even showing up in the balloting right now. Josh Donaldson, you're going to take Moustakas over Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson might be the God, he might be the American League MVP right now, the way he's hitting the baseball.
I watched him a couple of weeks ago when he came here. He was impressive.
Man, he is good.
No, you're right. And I've always kind of looked at it as a sham, you know, the fan voting.
I don't mind the fan voting if it's done the way they used to do it. But now you can't do it that way anymore. Throw the ballots out.
No, but they used to stuff ballot boxes. I think Cincinnati did it 1 year.
I suppose you could. That takes work, though.
Yeah, it does.
This is just some computer nerd figures a way to hack into it and says, all right, let's put all the Royals. And these Royals, they're not leading by like 1,000 votes. They're leading. Some of them have like 1.5 million vote leads. It's not going to change. They got to figure something out. What's the new commissioner's name?
Rob Manfred.
Manfred.
That's his problem now.
Manfred man.
Yeah, get it done, Rob. Rob's got more worries, though. He's got to worry about Pete Rose knocking at his door. The All-Star Game's in Cincinnati
this year.
Oh, that's
right.
Right there on Pete Rose Way at Great America Ballpark. I can't wait for that one. Time to let Pete in, baby. Time to let him in.
So what twin, if the balloting ended today, now obviously none of the Twins are going to be in the starting lineup. We know that. Who's going to the All-Star Game? Perkins, I suppose, huh?
He's got to go. He's worthy. I think you could make a case for Torrey. First of all, he's got the good numbers on a team that right now is very good, or at least has been. But I think he's also such an ambassador for the game that people like him around the country, people who follow MLB. I'm a big Brian Dozier guy. You could make a case for Dozier. I know the average isn't as high as some people would like, but I think he's a unique second baseman. I love his approach, plays hard. Other than that, you know, probably nobody else.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, unless Plouffe goes on another tear. He had a good month, but he's cooled off too. So, yeah, I would say Perkins is probably your shoe-in, and then maybe a sneak in Torrey or Dozier. I don't think that'll be about
it. Yeah, Kurt Suzuki's not going back.
No, you're going to have to wait for the ninth inning to see a twin in the All-Star game this year. that's my prediction. Are you going this year, by the way? Going to Cincinnati?
I don't think I'm going down. I thought about it, though. It'd be fun. But
I've never been to a Great American Ballpark. I'd like to see that park.
You should go down. Go down and see all those Royals play. It is a nice ballpark.
Yeah, that's the only drawback to this.
Right on the Ohio River next to Paul Brown Stadium and the Freedom Center, where the slaves used to come up across the Ohio River. They have a nice exhibit there.
I love the All-Star Game. Baseball All-Star Game is great time of year, my favorite time of year, and I mean, I had a blast last year. I soaked in as much as I possibly could.
No, I'm with you, and I'll say one thing that I like about the All-Star Game better than really any other event. It's the only thing going on.
That's true.
At that point in time.
You're right.
Even if I love the Super Bowl, but you still got NBA, NFL, college basketball. You know, that's being played in that, you know, little span of time.
Yep.
You know, look at NBA Finals going on now. Well, so are the hockey Stanley Cup Finals.
You're right.
I mean, All-Star Game, it's those 3 days, baseball's got the stage.
Oh, when I was in television for 16 years or whatever, and you worked on that Tuesday night, that's the only thing that's going on. Or for that matter, the Monday before. You know, I just remember working in sports on those nights, and that's it. You know, you get the All-Star Game, and then the day after, there's not much going on either, that Wednesday.
That's the quietest day in sports.
Yeah, and now it's Thursday, too. You know, they've given them
right
the extra.
The union has spoken.
Yes, they have.
MLB's got a good union as opposed to the NFL.
Yeah,
they care about their player.
Yeah, MLB, as you probably know, is baseball, it's the players that always win. Football, it's the owners.
I'll tell you what, and you know, if you're a young kid out there, and I love all sports, but if you really want to be an athlete, think about baseball. Boy, the pay is incredible if you make it. In any sport, at any major level, you know, the top level of any sport, it's very difficult to get there. You have a much better chance of being a lawyer, a doctor, a banker. The odds are just stacked that way. But if you do get lucky enough to make it, you are going to cash in. And the problem is in baseball, in most cases, you got to start out at the low minor league level and work your way up. And I do remember when I covered Class A baseball in the Quad Cities and talking to a scout once. And I was during batting practice, and we were just looking out at the field, watching the players hit and field and things like that. And I said, how many of these guys make it to the show? This is Class A, Midwest League. He says, look at all those guys out there. About five will make it. Hmm. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good, because at that level, what you don't realize, they are getting very little money.
Yeah.
They're traveling on buses. They're going from Davenport, Iowa to, you know, Springfield, Illinois, and then to Cedar Rapids, and then to Beloit, and then to Kalamazoo and wherever.
Or St. Paul to Joplin.
Oh, that's right. And that's even lower than Class A.
That's like low
Independent
A.
League American Association.
Yeah, that's really low A. Which, hey, by the way, I caught another Saints game the other night.
I was just going to bring that up. I know you went. I went last Saturday. My kids got some balls. Preston and Ben have American Association balls now in their room.
Wow. Very nice. You had a treasure trove there. How many did you walk away with? I saw your pictures on Facebook. It looked like your kids were collecting Easter eggs.
Between Ben, Peyton, and Preston, they walked away with five.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Ben got 12 in spring training.
Holy smokes.
And then at the Blue Jays Twins game, Preston got a couple.
Well, we went, Paul and I took my son Paul. We went on, was it Tuesday night? I think we went Tuesday night when the Joplin, what were they, the Blasters? What's their nickname? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, because you showed up at the Twins game for an inning. No, I don't know the Joplin nickname. Flog me. I don't know it.
Flog you.
Joplin, Missouri, though, another show me team. Right? So you had Kansas City and the Twins and then Joplin and...
And the Saints.
Right, Joplin, Missouri, right?
Yeah. I assume it was Joplin, Missouri.
Janice
I didn't look
Joplin.
It up. No. Poor Janice is long gone. But, no, we went over and we took in a Saints game on – yeah, I think I was at Twins for about three or four innings and then went over and caught the
I was
the
close
Joplin.
To texting you because – As you know, I was multitasking at that game. I was trying to pound out a blog and watch a game and then talk to you and placate you and all this. And then you left. So all of a sudden, I'm kind of half watching the game. Then I look at the board in like the sixth inning. I go, hey, the Twins don't have a hit against Chris Young. And I almost texted you and said, you didn't make a good decision by going to St. Paul tonight. Because if it weren't for Bloop's triple off the wall, it would have been a no-no.
It would have been a bad decision. You know what, though? I don't know if I'd want to see the Twins get no-hit. I went over to St. Paul, and the Saints rang up, I don't know, I think they won 8 or 9-2, something like
that. Well, they're on a roll, aren't they?
They are good. That's a good baseball team. I mean, you know, I don't know what the competition level is throughout the league, but I think they were 16-2 last time I looked.
And they had a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, they did.
And their longest trip of the year was the Texas trip, and I think they only lost once. So, yeah, that is a good team. The games I've seen, I've been impressed by the quality of play, and the ballpark is fabulous.
Yeah, there is no reason to – if you have not been yet to the new CHS field, we could probably both – I can speak for you. We both highly recommend going over there. I've enjoyed it. I've been there twice now in this first few weeks of the season, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I will be back.
And my new pet peeve now is when I have to choose between the Twins or the Saints and they go head-to-head.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah, they're both gone this weekend. Why can't one of them be home? Why don't the Saints, people make out the Saints schedule, look at the Twins schedule and say, okay, they're gone. We need to be home that weekend.
You would think they'd do that. I know they don't really have a problem selling tickets now, but that still would make much more sense. And I need something to do.
I agree. I would have loved to have gone out to CHS Field once or twice this weekend, but I suppose I could go watch high school baseball. I might still do that.
Yeah, that's going on.
It is. They got rained out. And it really wasn't even raining. They probably could have played on
Thursday. I know my kids played. You played. So
yeah, we played.
Why can't the high school kids play?
We had an 8 o'clock. We had an 8 o'clock game Thursday night.
The rain was early. Everybody panicked.
Yeah, the weather Nazis really scared of. They scared everybody.
Yeah, I saw one headline that was almost like build an ark. It almost said build an arc. I'm like, wow, is it really going to be that bad?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. All right, let's take a break. Speaking of arcs and boats, Al Moss, I'm sure, will be out on one this weekend, all weekend long, catching fish. He's going to tell you how to catch fish. That's coming up next right here, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio. Time now for our Leech Lake fishing report, and we head up north to Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss up on Leech Lake. Al, you guys have had some great weather over the last several days, and how in your estimation, has the good weather affected the fishing? A lot of times when you get the warm weather and you don't get the wind, the fish tend to slow down too. How's it been on leech?
That's kind of true, Wally. We've had just gorgeous weather. Today, we're sitting here right now. We have just about a zero wind. We're about 80 degrees temperature. Sun shining. It's been beautiful. It's been that way kind of all week. We haven't had strong winds. I've been fishing all week, mainly the walleye pike stuff. That bite has been, I would say, good to excellent. You know, pattern-wise, I think, Wally, what they're doing mainly now, what's changed is we're really kind of getting away from the jig routine. But if you're using a jig out on Leech Lake, I don't think there's a green jig in town. The Kelly Green, the dark green routine is what's really going right now. And shallow water, you'll find your smaller fish. It seems like lots of the guys now are going to the deeper water to try to find their bigger fish. But I've heard them go back and forth. Of course, you can't believe them. You never know what they're doing. So it's going to be an interesting one. We'll give you quite a report next week. But walleyes, everybody's happy they're catching fish. And right with it, Wally, the pike bite is just, you know, crazy. It's not the big pike necessarily, but just pike in the 3 to 5 pound category are all over the place. I did hear of a 12 pounder and a 15 pounder coming. Those are coming out of about 25 feet of water. So the bigger pike are down in colder water.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the spots you think folks might want to hit this weekend if they're heading to Leech Lake. We're talking to Al Moss here on a Leech Lake Fishing Report. Back with more right after this timeout.
Attention fishermen. Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3 bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
And we continue along with the Leech Lake Fishing Report. Al Moss on the other end of the line. Al, all right, if I'm at Leech this weekend, where should I go to find the walleye? Any hot spots that you recommend?
I would really look towards the Sucker Bay area. It's been consistent all week in that area from 7 feet to about 15 feet of water. The difference that has changed is that we're going away from the meadow jig routine. They're now pulling crawlers, spinners, and leeches are going very well. I would look at that bay. The rocks are starting to produce fish, but they're not producing the fish that you can keep. A lot of oversized, but they're not big enough to get over that 26. I would look also at Portage Bay, up that area, 5 mile. That has been very good, too. But Traders has kind of dropped off. I would look to the rocks out in the middle. Now people are starting to take a look only if the wind is up, because you need that dirty water. And by the way, Wally, we're also getting a mayfly hatch now, which is starting, so that's going to start to affect things too. But just transition is typical, changing over to leeches and crawlers, and people are doing pretty well with the bottom bouncing. Just remember, probably if you're going to bottom bounce, make sure your people have gold spinners on. That seems to be producing the best. If you're jigging, green is the best. If you're fishing smaller jigs, you're going to catch perch. You're going to catch lots of northerns. Overall, it's going pretty good.
All right. Good stuff, Al, as usual, and we'll look forward to next week and give us a recap on this past weekend.
Sounds good, Wally. Take care.
All right. Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman on Leech Lake. Eric and I will be back to wrap things up here on Minnesota Score Radio right after this timeout.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric with you, final segment as we wrap things up on Wednesday. Rush Creek, Maple Grove, Minnesota Vikings 27th annual golf event for the Vikings Children's Fund. They do a fabulous job. Rush Creek rolls out the purple carpet.
The purple.
It was a great day too, by the way, weather-wise. But I had a chance to go out there and talk to Randall McDaniel, who's really excited for Mick Tinglehoff, by the way, for the Hall of Fame. He said he had dinner with Mick. It's long overdue.
Are you going to Canton, by the way?
I don't think I'm going to make that trip. I need to go out west this summer. Wow. I'm more of a western guy. You'll probably be there. That's your stomping.
Well, right? The Twins are in Cleveland that weekend, too.
Oh, goodness gracious. You need to be there.
I think there's no reason to not be there.
Yeah. Browns might even have a game. No, that'd be the next
week.
That'd
be the following week. I don't think I can hang on that long. I think I'd be in trouble.
Adrian Peterson was there. He showed up.
I heard he said hi to you.
He did. Shook my hand, crushed it as usual. The handshake is still firm and pulverizing.
Wow.
And
you and AP tight?
I don't want to say you're tight. You know, I just said hi. How you doing? And he was very accommodating to fans who wanted his autograph and photos taken, things like that. I saw him on the fifth hole, miss a putt. But good to see Adrian just getting back out into the mix. And this is what you got to do.
They kept him away from the woods, didn't they?
They did.
He wasn't taking any branches down.
Jeez Louise. I thought you meant did his golf ball go in the woods?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
like Tigers did last week when he shot an 85.
Oh my goodness!
Tiger in the woods, a career low or whatever you however you phrase. That was the worst day of Tiger's life.
Well, no, the worst day of his life was
when he got chased by his wife. I got it, ex-wife.
So did you jump off the LeBron bandwagon already on me?
I'm pulling for Golden State just because of my West Coast leanings. But you know what? My respect for LeBron is growing, though. What I love more than anything in the series, that series also 2-2, so ABC's got to be happy about that. But look, we know he's been Superman, really. I mean, he's put this team
ridiculous
on his back. He's put the city on his back. But he embraces that.
Yeah, he does.
He wants to do that, and that's I love that passion.
You know what this reminds me of? And you'll remember this well, being Mr. West Coast guy. When Kareem went down and Magic was in his rookie year and Magic carried the show and carried the Lakers to an NBA title. To me, that's the most relevant comparison that I could make. I was trying to think back. What other player has really done what LeBron has done for Cleveland? Now, of course, LeBron has done it for an entire, almost the entire playoffs, more or less, with Love going down early and then Irving getting hurt, a couple of times now throughout the postseason. But that's the one that became, to the front of my mind was when Magic did that. And I'll never forget that. That was just unbelievable. And Magic was shooting freaking hook shots, too.
The baby hook.
He became Kareem.
Yeah, you're right. He did against Philly on those tape delayed games on CBS when it wasn't even in prime time with Brent calling the game.
You're right.
I think, too, that, when you look at LeBron, and it really is, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do. But he's a classy superstar. I really think he gets it. I like the way he's talked up, your guy Matthew Dellavedova, who Dellie's been pretty good. Now I know Game Four, Steph Curry and the Warriors woke up, but he's muscled up and he's talked him up. But I like the way he acknowledged Jim Brown before Game Three. And
yep,
and that's the thing about this. If Cleveland somehow gets you your coveted championship that you're drooling over, you're two wins away. You think about the Browns in 64, it was a one-man show, basically.
Jim Brown,
a freakish guy. And now you have a similar thing with LeBron, who's just a freakish guy. And I think he's very good for the sport. He'll take a stance if he has to on certain political issues. That's why Jim Brown likes him. But this is fun. Look, it's a good final. Steph Curry. How could you not like Steph Curry? I know you don't.
I like Steph Curry. We've talked to Dell a couple of times. His dad. I have a ton of respect for Steph Curry. He's driving me crazy during this series. My God, the ridiculous threes that he makes. He's just unbelievable. He's a remarkable shooter. And how in the world you could look at Steph Curry, and you could see it when he was playing in the NCAA tournament, how you could look at him and look at freaking Johnny Flynn and think that Johnny Flynn was a better choice than than Steph Curry? You got to be kidding
of all
me.
Of all the Timberwolves boondoggles.
And a lot of people, I know a lot of teams passed on Steph Curry. But the point is that the Wolves were looking to get a point guard or to get
a guard.
Well,
they took three.
I know. They took Rubio, Flynn, and
Lawson.
And so they
dealt Lawson, who was better than Flynn.
And Flynn was a bust.
And Lawson's probably better than Rubio. So the one they kept, ultimately Rubio, not bad, but certainly he's not Steph Curry. And
well,
Johnny Flynn, like you said, just didn't make it.
Well, we had to wait 2 years for Rubio.
Right.
And then, of course, since he's been here, he's been hurt a lot. I mean, I like Ricky Rubio. I think he's a. I think if he stays healthy, he is an above.
No, I like him too. I think the jury's still out on him. That's all I'm saying.
But to not take Curry with that Johnny Flynn pick is just amazing to me. It's just the more I look at that thing, that might have been the worst choice they've ever not made. Let's put it that way.
No, probably. Because what you basically have done is you bypassed an MVP. That's what he is. He's an MVP who may become an NBA champion in the same season. So it's maddening for Wolves fans. They're on the clock. Let's hope they don't bypass the wrong guy when they're picking on June 25th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. I mean,
well, we'll have to spend some time next week previewing that because they're going to have to make a choice. And, you know, it's been kind of laying in the weeds ever since they won the lottery as to what they're going to do. And I see that our guy, did you see that Rashad Vaughn's stock has been rising? He apparently has had some really good workouts. They're talking top 15 now.
Wow, he's almost into
he's
a lottery.
He's almost
position,
into the lottery. He's just outside the lottery right now. And they say that they don't be surprised if somebody takes him in the lottery. Now, I still think that he's got, first of all, they got to worry about his knee because he was injured last year, and I still think that he has some defensive issues. And you can hide him a little bit, but, boy, in the NBA, there's so much isolation going on. Yeah, you better be careful.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up, Minnesota hoops connections. How about Richard Pitino getting a $400,000 a year raise?
Yeah.
That's justified.
I was going to talk about that earlier this show. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, seriously? Norwood Teague, seriously? Because Alabama supposedly courted him. You're going to bump him up by 400K, and he did not make a tournament last season? No wonder the U of M.
No wonder they're being investigated.
Yes, yeah, the feds are after him now. Oh, my goodness.
Can you blame him?
No.
Unbelievable.
I mean.
Nice job, Norwood.
Wow.
And make sure you keep Richard Pitino. He's done such a wonderful job. I mean, to be fair, I think the guy does need to get 4 years so he can get his players
okay, that's
in.
That's fine, but did he deserve a raise?
No, he didn't. A pretty near $500,000 raise? No.
Seriously, I want anybody out there, raise your hand out there. Did he deserve a raise? That's all I'm asking. Even if you're a fan of Richard Pitino, off what he did this past season, the team, did he deserve a raise?
Wow.
Let's give Joe Mauer a raise then.
It didn't make the net.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how that warrants a pay raise. I don't care if he's near the bottom of the Big Ten as far as salary goes. Well, he should be. He hasn't proven he's a Bo Ryan or a Tom Izzo or your guy Thad Mata. He's not in that caliber yet. Will he be someday? I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot. I wish we'd had more time to talk about this. We need to say goodbye. Reminder, visit our website.
And they want all this money to build these new facilities? Keep that $400K and put it in your athletics village.
Thank you very much. I completely agree. There's $400K you didn't know you had. You notice
you might even be able to do something for the women, who apparently you ignore.
Hey, you notice they waited till after the state legislature was out to make this announcement, too. Well, they did, because they're always over there with their hands out.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
All right. I've said enough. A reminder, visit our website. It's MinnesotaScore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score. And you could probably afford that. I don't know if Coach Pitino could.
Nope. I don't think you can afford your magazine. All right, let's FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Rocky, one goes to Al Moss, another to Tommy Malone. Don't call him Carl. Or Sam, or Moses.
He delivers.
For Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio. your Gopher ticket.